Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Laughter is awesome, sometimes. But we had better be people that can learn to laugh at ourselves. We gotta laugh at ourselves, man. I have said some goofy things in front of people, and even in the middle of sermons, I've said things and I've just go, oh, I can't believe I said that. We have to learn to laugh, amen? And you know what I found? Everybody wants to have fun. Everybody wants to enjoy their life, amen?
In some church cultures, there seems to be an unspoken rule that church should always be serious. The more somber you are, the more spiritual. Well, being able to spend time in reflection and solemn reverence is an important part of your healthy Christian life. It's only a part of it. It's not healthy if all of your Christian journey looks like this. As Pastor Michael will remind us in today's message, joy is a central character trait that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to the hearts of His followers. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Luke chapter 7 as he begins his message, Enjoying Ministry.
This is actually the sixth message in this series, and we've been using Alpine Chapel as an acrostic. So we are on the last letter of the word Alpine, which is E, and E stands for this, Enjoying Ministry. We approach every ministry, every meeting, every relationship, everything creatively and with a sense of fun. We believe that if you're not having fun, loving, obeying, and serving God, then you've got a problem. I know this is a little bit different today. Funny, and as I was preparing for this message, just looking for anything out there, any type of resource that I could look at and study, and I couldn't find anything where people talked about having fun in church. And so I thought, okay, we're making up something new here today. And I really do think that this is a word for the church around the world today. Last night, you know, we were preaching this in our Saturday night service and had a couple folks walk in right while I was preaching and sat in the back there where you guys are, Linda and Mark, and were just literally out loud mocking as I was preaching. And so I got up and beat them up and kicked them out. But, you know, this morning we came early and decided we were going to pray just against any distractions because we really believe that this is a message that God wants the church to hear. How many of you believe it's okay to have fun? I absolutely think it's okay to have fun. And sometimes over the years I've gotten emails like, you know, you said something and I felt like that was a little bit inappropriate behind the pulpit. And I was like, well, we don't have a pulpit here, so... When I was younger, I was a youth pastor, and I was commissioned at a little church in Oregon to write a Christmas play. And I wrote this play, and I wrote that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And the senior pastor called me into his office, and he says, "You never use the word pregnant from my pulpit." And I was like, well, he goes, "You say that she was with child. Pregnant is inappropriate." And I didn't know. I was like 19 years old, and I was like, yes, sir, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that was, you know, nasty. But, you know, sometimes many people have this perception that Christians, we're all like so somber-faced and lame and boring and, you know what I'm saying? And I think, man, we need to let them know that that's not the way that it is. It's okay to laugh. When I was in the eighth grade, I weighed about 75 pounds. I was a little skinny guy. Every day in the eighth grade in California, I had my best friend Steve would ride his bike to my house and he'd leave the bike in the backyard and we'd walk to school together. I just lived about a block away from our middle school. And so we'd go to school and then after school, we'd meet up and we'd walk back to my house. And every day we did this. I would change my clothes, put a bathing suit on. I'd tie a rope around the seat of his bike. And he would pull me on my skateboard about 3.5 miles because Steve had a pool. And we'd go swimming. Every day we did this. It was awesome and good memories. But one day I came home with Steve and we walk into the room. And it was one of the greatest days of my life. I looked on my dresser. And my mother had purchased my very first stick of underarm deodorant. It was a big day. I remember looking at that, and I guess she thought I was starting to smell manly or something. And She wanted to do something about that. It was pretty awesome. So I grabbed that thing, and Steve was like, what is that? I was like, it's underarm deodorant. This is awesome. I've been wanting this forever, you know? And it was the clear kind. And so I remember I put it on, man. I just, like, caked it under my armpits. And then we were just being goofy, and I was doing, like, tic-tac-toe on my stomach, and I went around my boobs and put it on my ears and everything. I just said boobs in church. You guys okay? All right. Put it all over, and it smelled so good, and we were just goofing around up and down my legs, and so whatever, I put it away and tied the rope around his, you know, his bike, and he takes me down. I lived at the end of this cul-de-sac, and it was kind of long, and at the end of the cul-de-sac, we would turn left and head out to his house, but at the end of the cul-de-sac, at the house on the left there was, it belonged to Nikki Patino. Oh, you don't know who she is. She was the best-looking girl in our school. She was the head of the cheerleading squad, and her and the entire cheerleading squad were in her front yard working on routines. And so, again, I'm very skinny, very self-conscious of my, you know, body. And so we go by, and I'm holding on the rope, and so I'm trying to, like, flex, you know, like, you know, go by. And so all of a sudden we hear, Michael, Steve, you know? And so we stop, and I'm surrounded by 14-year-old girls on the cheerleading squad, and they're all laughing. And I look at my friend Steve. My friend Steve is laughing. And Nikki Patino said something I'll never forget. She said these words. She said, Michael, we can see your underarm deodorant. And I looked down, and I was completely white. It had turned, it had just totally turned white in the sun. And one of my most embarrassing moments, okay? It really was. Now, I you say, why are you telling this story? I learned three lessons from this story, okay? And I want to share them with you, and just to edify your spirit. First lesson, things that are done in private many times will come out in the open. Okay? Lesson number one. Lesson number two, deodorant changes color. Lesson number three is that laughter is awesome. Sometimes. But we had better be people that can learn to laugh at ourselves. We gotta laugh at ourselves, man. I have said some goofy things in front of people, and even in the middle of sermons, I've said things and I just go, oh, I can't believe I said that. We have to learn to laugh, amen? And you know what I found? Everybody wants to have fun. Everybody wants to enjoy their life, amen? The Bible says this, and we learned this as young parents. Kelly and I learned this verse, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Isn't that good? We used to sing that with our kids. We had a little song. A cheerful heart is good medicine, good medicine, good medicine. A cheerful heart is, come on, good medicine, Proverbs 17, 22. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Come on, dries up the bones. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 17, 20. See, now you know it. We want to have fun. So we've been talking for, this is the sixth message. We've been talking about our core values and sort of what makes us tick here. And I'm just telling you, I really believe it's important. We've been talking about being ambassadors for Christ and talking about, you know, being witnesses in the world that God has planted us in, wherever that world is, your workplace, your home, your neighborhood, or whatever. We want to be a light wherever God has placed us. But while we're doing that, I'm telling you, I believe it is so important that we put a smile on our faces and enjoy life. It's important. And so that's why we approach every ministry, every meeting, every relationship. And I say every meeting because even in our board meetings and stuff, you know, we'll be like getting serious. And then I usually will say something stupid to try to break up the tension. I do that when I'm preaching too. I notice everybody's kind of freaked out if I'm talking about hell or anything. So I'll try to say something like, hey, it's okay. We're all just humans. We're just loving Jesus together. So every meeting, everything we approach, creatively, we want to do that, but also with a sense of fun. And I honestly believe if you ain't having fun, man, loving, serving, and obeying the Lord, then there's a problem. With me? Okay, so let's get into this. Because I'm going to tell you, there's long been a belief in Christianity that Jesus, for instance, did not have a sense of humor. Jesus never laughed. Jesus never had any fun. Anybody here ever seen the TV show The Chosen? Okay, raise your hand real big. Just look around. Okay, you guys got to watch this show. It is really, really good. And they do a neat job of portraying Jesus in a way that often is not, he's not portrayed. And that is just as a human who has fun. I remember watching the episode where he turns the water into wine and he's there and he brings joy. Wine, you know, the root of the word joy, I'm sorry, the root of the word wine in Greek is the same root word as joy. So Jesus brings joy to this party. And what you see is in the background, you see they're all dancing. And I love it because you see Jesus and Jesus is doing the Carlton, you know, in the back from Fresh Prince. Never mind. Okay. But I love that. I believe, you know, I don't hold to the belief that Jesus was always somber and everything, but really traditionally paintings of Jesus, I don't know about you, man. Like that dude does not look like somebody I want to fall in love with. I mean, he's always portrayed, or at least for many, many years, he's been portrayed as somber and glum. And like he's always down. And let me tell you where we get these ideas of these pictures. We get these ideas from different passages of scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're told that he is the sin bearer, that he has borne our sins, okay? So we talk about that, how Jesus took our sins upon himself on the cross and things like that. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm not picturing a big old smile on Jesus' face as he's taking on my sin, right? In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, very famous passage, but it basically talks in verse 3 there about how he's like the man of sorrows. He's been rejected by man, that they literally had to turn away from him, okay? We see in Mark chapter 6, the first 6 verses there that Jesus wasn't just rejected by men, but literally he was rejected in his hometown. Like where he grew up, they rejected him. In John chapter 11, Jesus's good friend Lazarus dies. And in the shortest verse in the Bible, the first verse I ever memorized, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Of course, he endured the cross. So we see these different scriptures and we sort of put this picture in our mind. He's a man of sorrows. He's been rejected. He went to the cross and all these things. We're like, oh, he was just always somber. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that he was always in a bad mood. Can I say it that way? And I want to make my case. The picture that we have in the four Gospels is of a Jesus who has this magnetic personality that people want to be around. As a matter of fact, we're told in one place there that Jesus is carrying children. Like, I don't know about you, man. Kids don't want to be around a grumpy dude. Right? I mean, just ask this guy right here. He can't get kids to even pay attention. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Kids don't want to be, but Jesus had kids and they wanted to come to him, and even to the point where the disciples were like, hey man, leave Jesus alone. Remember what he said, right? Come on, man, don't stop them from coming to me, man. These kids are awesome. Jesus had that kind of a personality. As a matter of fact, one time in Luke chapter 7, he was accused of being overly joyful. I love that. In Matthew chapter 9, he's talking to the disciples in one place and he says, now is not the time to mourn. Let's go. I love that. You know, the very fact that we humans have a sense of humor, I think points to the fact that God has a sense of humor, because the Bible tells us that we were created in his likeness or his image, right? Exactly. I think God totally has a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, look up here on stage. Or look at the platypus or some of these other funky animals that he made. Look at in the bottom right corner. Look at that lemur getting down. I found that picture. I'm like, it's like John Travolta. I love that. I absolutely believe that God has a sense of humor. And Jesus, as the Son of God, shares the same attributes as his Father. Jesus, as the Son of Man, shares the same attributes as us. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he emptied himself of that godliness, that he humbled himself, he became a man, that he basically understands all the emotions that you and I go through. And so a lot of times you'll hear sermons about how if you're going through something hard or you're depressed or if you're being tempted, Jesus can relate to that. And that is so true. But don't forget all of the emotions. Some of our emotions are laughter and joy and fun. And if Jesus lived a human life, gang, that I'm telling you, he experienced those things as well. Amen. I think Jesus, not just in these things as the Son of God, the Son of Man, but I also think that in his teaching, uniquely, you see a sense of humor. Now, you don't always get it in English, but when you look at the original language, especially the language of Hebrew, which is what Jesus spoke, and it's translated for us into Greek and then into English later, but Hebrew would have been the language that they spoke to each other, and then the street Greek, they would have, it was called Koine Greek, they would have spoken with the Romans and things like that. But if you look at the original Hebrew language, very interesting, some of the things Jesus said, and you can't get around the fact that the guy was funny. Like, for instance, one time he's talking about judging people, and he says, how dare you try to take a splinter out of somebody's eye when you've got a Louisville slugger basically coming out of your own eye? Remember that? Let me tell you, that is extreme exaggeration. It's called humor. It's funny. Now, we're not holding our stomachs and just going, oh, that was a good one, Lord. But in those days, they were like, what? That's funny. You know, there's another time when he's talking about rich people and how hard it is for them to get in the kingdom of God. And he uses this analogy, this picture of a camel going through the eye of a needle. You guys know this, right? And I've heard sermons, well, the eye of the needle was a small gate on the side of the big gate. Let me tell you, I can't find anything in history to substantiate that claim. And I even went to Israel and I asked the guy, my guide, I was like, where's the eye of the needle? I've heard about that. And the guy's like, that's fiction. So what is he saying then? How do you squish a camel through an eye of a needle? Well, that's the funny part. It's over exaggeration. The dude's hilarious. You know, when you read the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount, we call it in Matthew chapter 5 and in Luke chapter 6, you see Jesus referring to laughter and joy. As a matter of fact, most famously, he says this. He says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall, and the literal word is laugh. I love that. Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 15. He gives three parables or three stories to make a point. And the point, he talks about a lost coin that a woman lost. And then he talks about a lost sheep that the shepherd left the 99, right? We know this, and people would find the one. And then he talks about the lost son or the prodigal son story. We've heard this story, but do you understand at the end of those stories, when the sheep is found, when the coin is found, when the son is found, there's always described this great joy, this great rejoicing. As a matter of fact, Jesus sums up those points there in verse 10. He says, I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. I'm trying to make a case to show you guys, Jesus wasn't always a bummer. He had a serious mission to accomplish while on the planet. He did. I can't show you a Bible verse and it says, turn to this, and Jesus laughed. I can't show you that. But I'm telling you, gang, if he experienced and empathized with all of humanity and he experienced the things that we experience, I believe strongly that he enjoyed life and he enjoyed ministry. And I think we should too. We all have met Christians that have that solemn, somber look, right? We've all met people like that. I remember we had an usher at our church when we were in Iowa as youth pastors, and I was at a Hardee's. Maybe you've never heard of Hardee's. It's basically the Midwest version of Carl's Jr. And so I'm at Hardee's, and I met this dude who was a drug addict or whatever, and he saw me on my Harley, and so we started talking, and I had a Jesus shirt on, and I invited him to church. And so he comes to my church the next Sunday, and this usher, his name was Wilfred. And Wilfred was always there. He was, you know, 195 years old, and he would help people get seated. And Wilfred would be at the door. And this guy and his young family came into the church, and they sat in the back row because they were freaked out. You know, they just met a dude at Hardee's and invited him to church. And I was up on the stage playing bass. I was, you know, we were there and before church. And I'm watching, and I watch Wilfred come up to this young family. I'm so excited that they're there. And I remember he leaned over, and he said something, and they all stood up and went out the door and left. So I took my bass off and I ran out to the parking lot. I was like, hey, what's going on? They're like, that guy told us that we were sitting in his seat. Dude, I was ready to lay hands on Wilfred. Suddenly and repeatedly. And I did actually, and I didn't beat him up or nothing. I could have taken him, I think, but I had we called a board meeting and I was like, this cannot happen. You know, we're never going to see people come into our church if we treat people like that, right? We've all met Christians that just have, there's no joy. You know what the Bible says? But, and I don't have this up here. I'm just making this up as I go here now. But Bible says this, in his presence is fullness of joy. So if there's no joy, maybe his presence ain't around. Even when I look in the mirror. We've all met people like that. I've even met pastors and leaders like this. I was reading this, and I know there's a number of other pastors that watch this, so not trying to offend anybody, but, you know, whatever. This is what I read. 70% of pastors today claim that they do not have one close friend in their church ministry. 70%. Why? And, you know, we are seeing leaders all over America, all over the world, throwing in the towel and quitting and walking away from the ministry. And when they're asked by George Barna, the Barna Institute that does research on these kinds of things, when they are asked, why are you walking away? You know what one of the biggest answers is? It's just not satisfying. Everybody hates me. Everybody's critical of me. And so I'm done with this. Can I say it this way? There's no fun. So we have leaders. Here's the question I have. How, as a pastor, as a leader, how can I make an impact for the kingdom of God and bring glory to his great name and still have fun while doing it? How can we do that? A few years ago, I was an associate pastor in Colorado Springs. And it was a large church, about 3,000 people. And every once in a while, when the pastor was gone, he would ask me to fill the pulpit. So I only had to preach 2 or 3 times a year. It was great. My job was as an executive pastor was to just oversee the other ministries, okay? And there was 3 executive pastors at this church. It was pretty large. And so I oversaw certain departments and everything. And the other 2 executive pastors and I, we were good friends and things like that. Well, one night, because I was asked to preach the next weekend, I was staying in my office. They shut down the church and I was there till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. I'm still there in my office by myself in this big church and I'm studying. And I finally got tired and turned off the light and went out, locked up the church and left. And I didn't know it, but there was 4 men waiting for me in the parking lot. And so I didn't know this then. They were all on staff. One was the lead janitor named Dale. One was the worship pastor named Justin. One was a guy in the media department named Ryan. And the 4th one was some dude named Isom, who is now an associate pastor here. I can't believe I hired this guy. You met him earlier. So these 4 guys were waiting for me out in the parking lot. I didn't know it. And I got my car and I drove off and they went in. They somehow got my key from someone else and went into my office. And the other 2 executive pastors, they took all the stuff out, put it in the hallway, all the pictures off the wall, everything. They took pictures first of all of our offices, even the way we had things on the desk situated, and they put it all back but in each other's office. Does that make sense? So I went into, the next morning, I go into my office, and it looks exactly like Mark, the other executive. It looks like his office, and I'm like, what? And then, and James, and they had totally switched it. It was perfect, right? So I literally fall on the ground laughing. I think this is the greatest practical joke I've ever seen. Like, I'm busted. The other 2 executive pastors come in and they're ticked. And they're like calling a meeting right away. We can't waste our time like this. You guys need to come in and change this right away. And I remember I took them aside and I was like, guys, are you kidding me? Like, they did this on their own time. They're not doing this because they don't like us. They do it because they love us. Is it okay to enjoy the stinking ministry? And I almost said that word for word. And I no longer work there. Anyway, that's true. But goofing around a little bit today, but let me just say this, gang. Maybe you're listening to me right now and you're like, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not in full-time ministry or whatever. As we have been talking about throughout this series, we are all in full-time ministry.
You've been listening to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, as Pastor Michael has been taking us through the heartbeat of the church. When it comes to the life or lack thereof in a church, one important place to look is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, where the resurrected Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now there's a lot to unpack there, but let's look at just the first word Jesus said, go. How willing are you to go, whether it's across the aisle at the grocery store, across the street, or across the world? You and I are called to go. We live in an incredible time where you can find all the nations in your hometown. Will you go? We're so glad you've joined us here on Burning Hearts. This is a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Do you have questions about what it is we believe? Do you want to give to this ministry? Would you like to find out where we're located and what our service times are? Are you curious to see if we have a live stream of our services? The answer to all these questions and more can be found on our website, thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. Go check us out today, and we'll see you back here again to hear more from Pastor Michael about the heartbeat of the church on Burning Hearts.